Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here. This is a session about communicating with society. Let me start with disclaimer number one. I've worked in science communication for the last 15 years. My starting point was a lecture I had to give in Berlin, and I called it Können Sie in zwei Sätzen erklären? The usual journalist's question, can you explain in 2 minutes, dot, 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 what you do? My answer in the lecture was no. The answer is still correct, and it was honest, and I didn't give it lightly. Disclaimer number two. In the following talk, I mostly talk about mathematics, because that's my subject. I'm a mathematician. If you want to do that for yourself, plug in science or plug in for that your science, and I think all these things will be relevant. The following brief remarks, less than 10 minutes I'll try, will be numbered. I will start at 6 and count down to 0 approximately. So this is a countdown. I just wanted to remind you that countdown is a mathematical method of counting. It was invented for a science movie, a rather successful one, Die Frau im Mond, Woman in the Moon, by Fritz Lang, 1929, which gave a really scientifically interesting depiction of a rocket going to the moon. So all these 7 points I want to spell out, and the following are probably quite evident, and we may have a consensus on them on the panel, but I still think I should try and say them clearly. So let me start the countdown. This is the original screenshots from the movie. Number six, there was the so-called Bodmer Report, 1985, by the Royal Society in London, under the title The Public Understanding of Science. And the final conclusion of this very important paper, which you can find on the web, was, I quote, "But our most direct and urgent message must be to the scientists themselves, learn to communicate with the public, be willing to do so, and consider it your duty to do so." Are we, the scientists, willing to communicate? I would plainly just say yes. This is not the problem anymore. We've gone a long way since 1985 on this issue. We want to communicate, there's no doubt about that. However, did we learn that? Does science communication work, by and large? I claim no, not if our goal to be successful would be reaching the public understanding of science. And if we communicate with society, what do we want to communicate? What should we want to communicate? Not so clear. Number five, the public understanding of science, I would claim, is impossible if you take it literally. This is a quote translated from 1999 German memorandum. PUSH was abbreviation for Public Understanding of Science and Humanities. And in translation it reads, "All scientists are requested to present their work publicly, also in a form that is understandable for the non-specialists." So their work in a way that's understandable for the non-specialists. So here's one of my favorite fairy tale books by Salman Rushdie, Harun and the Sea of Stories. And in this book there's something that's called a P2C2E. A P2C2E is a process too complicated to understand. And I wrote 20 years ago a math book for a graduate math education on polytopes, and I claimed in this book that in math there's no processes too complicated to understand. I think that's probably true or not true, but you really have to study math in university to get to the core of these things. Math is full of P2C2Es, in particular if you want to try and get it to the society at large. Elliptic curve cryptography is very relevant, it's very interesting, it's very complicated, and there's no way to try and explain it in 2 sentences or in a public lecture also if you have an hour. It's just P2C2E. In math, we have the advantage that everybody out there thinks they don't understand and they know they don't understand. And same is true with many science journalists if you talk to them as a mathematician. In medicine, I understand it's the opposite problem, that everybody thinks they understand, and that may be even worse. Point number four. I think the public understanding of science is necessary. It's necessary because mathematics and science, of course, impact everybody. And it does not only impact society, but it does impact every individual, which means every single person has to know what mathematical technology can do with your data and why and how Google and Amazon and Facebook and NSA and whoever know about you and earn money on your data. So every single person has to make choices, so they have to know about what math, in that case, can do with them. What we see in public is something that's known in psychology as somebody else's problem, which says we know that math is relevant, we know that's P2C2E, and then there's people who have to deal with that. It's somebody else's problem. That's also a psychological condition, and this here is the Wikipedia definition of SEP. It's a psychological effect where people choose to dissociate themselves from an issue that may be in critical need of recognition. So math, science is an SEP for large parts of the society. The more literary description of what an SEP is, you find in some of Douglas Adams' novels from the Hitchhiker's Guide series. Number three, what is math about? What is your science about? You can read the definition of what is math on Wikipedia. The version in English is awful, the one in German is even worse. The one in English tells you that part of the definition of math is that there's no definition of math that people can agree on. And then they say math studies abstract structures with logical methods that mathematicians have created by logic themselves. If that's what's math, I am not interested. I means me here on the podium. On the other hand, what is math and why could it be interesting? What image do we have of math? Here, a British study from 2008 with many high school and university kids. Conclusion, one sentence from the conclusion says, the students' views of math itself included narrow and inaccurate images that are often limited to numbers and basic arithmetic. That's all that comes across as what is math. Actually, former science minister Annette Schavan visiting the research institute in Oberwolfach, and on the blackboard she wrote what she thought is the essence of math, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. So that's what I would say is numbers and basic arithmetic and perhaps a bit of algebra. That's not what math is about. So what is math about? I don't know whether anybody knows these old books. They came from the US early 60s about all kinds of pieces of science, the How and Why Wonder books. This is the math book. The series was awfully successful in Germany long after it died in the US. And this is the four covers of the German book. I brought one of them sort of here physically. And this is four images of what math is about, in this case targeted as high school boys and girls. I think this is interesting depictions of what is math about. Think of what is your science about and how do you get this into one picture? How do you get an image? Number two, I think science communication has to be about emotions. One lesson we learned from the National Math Year in Germany, and one lesson I learned because it was in the concept, said if you defend yourself, you're a loser. So if you start out, I know there's all kinds of P2C2E, and you certainly never liked math in school, but now I'm going to tell you what it's about. I already lost. Never defend yourself. We have to go in there across with emotions, with interesting things, with images, with stories. Here's my nicest emotional presentation of math is about. Math is like a diamond. It's extremely hard material, P2C2E, but valuable and highly prized both for its industrial applications and for its intrinsic beauty. That's what math is about. That's why I am in math. Here is it. And number one, communicating what is science and what is math happens and it works. Just to mention here three things from math. One is an exhibition called Imaginary, which I think made all continents by now and is available in the internet, and it's amazing how people react to it, a math exhibition. Part two, I just brought you a screenshot from one of Vi Hart's math videos, this one on hexaflexagons. Yesterday had 6,368,694 clicks. I think that's impressive, it gets across. And the third example I want to mention is just that there's all these books around, and here's two of my recent ones, one about stories and one about images from math, and that's how we get things across. It's important to get the images across before we get any contents. And now number zero, screenshot from the movie still. I think we have to get to the most important part of society, and this is the teachers. And if I talk about what's the image we have of a science, what's the image of what we have of mathematics, we also have to ask when and where is this taught to teachers. And by and large, it doesn't happen. The quote I put up there is by an eminent mathematician, Felix Klein, but it's from 1908, and it's still true. He talks about the double discontinuity in teacher education. They go from high school to university. They don't recognize any of this from school. They try and tunnel through university. They go back to school and teach what they had learned when they were in school themselves. It's actually quite awful. This was how it was in 1908, and a lot of that is still the same way today. One project we are doing in Berlin, it is a course, I'm teaching it right now. It also will be a book called Panorama of Mathematics. It's a four-hour course trying to teach to teacher students what their subject is about the history, the applications, the motivation, the people who do math, how we publish it, all that, a huge panorama. And I think this panorama is what we should try and teach. And that's it. I think after zero, of course, in the countdown comes the start of the rocket. And this is how this looked in 1929 in Fritz Lang's Die Frau im Mond. They started the rocket from water, but the trajectory actually was quite realistic. Thank you very much.